You claim your authority is ever in doubt. What a fathomless wealth lies in the wisdom and knowledge of God. How inscrutable his judgments, how mysterious his methods. All come from him, all live by him, all end in him. Glory to him forever, amen. Romans 11:33-36. Is it not so that the great majority, even those who profess Christ, have closed the avenue to the Christ love, wisdom, and power? In our conferences, is it not so that those who partake in them are filled with the ideals of separatism and religion and nationality and tradition and the like, with the idea of getting as much as they can for themselves, which all leads to enmity and conflict? To have peace in the home as well as in the conference room, all must dwell in the consciousness of that oneness with all. There are some who believe that this oneness is obtained by living in sackcloth and ashes, that they must live on the smell of an oily rag, or that they must sit on a hilltop to concentrate and dream dreams. You see, it's impossible to live in isolation. And to know reality, you must have relationship. And you must have true relationship. And in your relationship, then you understand yourselves. But if you separate yourselves, live in some faraway place, and think by doing so you're going to obtain the ultimate, you are making a great mistake. If what you are concentrating on is probably an idea only, an idea or an image or a belief, the belief that you may become something by concentrating on an image of a master or whatever the case may be. That never brings you anywhere at all. You only hypnotize yourselves. What is really necessary is the discernment of the thoughts and emotions and motives so that the mind can be cleansed, then you have true relationship. You have a oneness, and that oneness, that reality, then gives expression to itself because it is love and wisdom. There is an intelligence that built the body, an intelligence that's working through the whole of the universe, intelligence working through the mineral, the vegetable, the animal, and the human being, the angelic life, and greater beyond, that we can hardly realize. Therefore, it's the same intelligence. Now, this is the intelligence that can manifest through man, too. Created his brain and the nervous system through which this intelligence could manifest. But what happens to man? He thinks himself separate from his neighbor, and consequently, he creates a separate self. That separate self is the illusion, and not until such time as we get rid of the separate self can we find that which is the same self in every other self. That is the great truth that Jesus saw completely when he realized that he and the Father were one. Then he told his disciples, I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in the Father. They all were one. He tried to show them in words something of the oneness of everything. But yet even the disciples couldn't understand. Why? Because when you read these words, Jesus tried to give them the impression of this oneness. And I'm sure that he often tried to show them the self. Because he said these words, he who seeks to retain his life will lose it, and he who gives up his life will retain it. Meaning to say that you must lose the self, that life of the self. Then you will lose that life, but you will retain your life. You will retain the life that is eternal. And although we don't see it in words in the Bible, I'm sure that he did. Tried to show them how to eliminate all from the mind that which is preventing the expression of reality. Because there is no other way. It's impossible to find another way. How can you then be free from the self and all its accumulations, unless you understand what those accumulations are, and how they come about? How can you free yourselves then if you have accumulations, even if you say the Father and I are one, yet your mind is filled up with those accumulations, your memories, your hates, your desires, your hopes, and all these things which are off the mind? The intelligence in the life has no hopes, have no memories, has no experience. It is expressing itself entirely now. It's intelligence. And it is when we give up these accumulations, we find this intelligence expressing itself in its wholeness and completeness. I have found that to be true. I've tried all the other methods. Before I went to Tibet, I'm sure I tried very much to find reality. In fact, I used to go way up into the mountains and the hills everywhere, and I knew there was something, but I could never find it. I could concentrate and dream dreams and think of the Master and do all those things, but I still retained the self with all its stupidity, its all its cravings, and all the things that belong to the self. And yet I couldn't get rid of them. Even if I tried to, I couldn't get rid of them because they always sprung up again and again. I tried to suppress them, and there the suppression of them only created further experiences and further troubles and further accumulations. So therefore I was balked again. And not until I came to understand the true nature of the self, showing the self what it was and understand it, that it began to dissolve away into nothingness. And when that had cleared away, it disappeared. Matter of fact, I was among some friends on Sunday night, and I said, bugger it, you see? So his friend said, doctor, don't lose your temper. I said, no, I'm not, I didn't lose my temper. I just said bugger to save myself. You understand? So you see, well, some people may think that they are religious, and that the world is going to destroy them, but when they saw the whole nature of the thing, when a person was free from the injury of anything, you see, they were caught up in the whole story. And I could see how they were caught up. They were all shaken by the fact that I would say such a word as that. I can say worse than that. I said, don't you be afraid of that. And you have often said it too under your breath, but you never let it out. You're probably afraid of doing so. Therefore, you were caught up in it. But you see, the wonderful thing that freedom gives you, it gives you freedom. It gives you that freedom, that completeness, life itself. It is magnificent. And I tell you, you will find how wonderful it is too. The real knowers do not isolate themselves from their fellows, but become one with them. For there is no such thing as isolation in reality. Real knowers are active builders, receiving and giving, giving and receiving. Happiness can only come from knowing the self, so that the self can be transcended. I'm sure that Jesus knew this when he said, he who seeks to retain his life will lose it, but he who gives up his life for my sake will retain it. He saw clearly the ways of the self, that the self was caught up in the illusion of disease, craving, enmity, separation, which prevented true happiness, which alone came from the life, and when the self had given up that life, then we would have the life of the true self, which is everlasting. And unless we can see that self that is in every other self, we will never find true happiness, because we will always be separated from each other. And it's in this environment when the whole thing comes right, an environment. Now, it's an extraordinary thing. Some person said to me Monday afternoon when I left this place I was at, well, he said, there's never been such a happy feeling in the family until you came down here. Now, I didn't know there was a happy feeling, only I was happy myself. So you see, the whole story was happiness. Happiness was freedom. Therefore, if you are free, you are happy, aren't you? But if you're not free, you're not happy, are you? Because you're caught up somewhere. Now, if you know where you're caught up, you can eliminate this conditioning through which you're caught up. Therefore, you have freedom. And that freedom is happiness. If you are not free, you will not be happy. You'll be wondering about this and that, what you're going to say. I wonder, well, this will hurt this person or hurt that person. Is this person religious? Do you think I should say this and I should say that? Don't you see you're caught up in the self? The self is the trouble. Get rid of that self and have this freedom. Because that self is yourself. When the true self is manifest, we know that there is no separation, therefore we become joint heirs to all that is God's, because we cannot be apart from Him except in our ignorance. Pure thought is freedom. But pure thought only comes when we have seen clearly what is preventing it. Our creative power exists in the unlimited state of our divine consciousness. Every thought is limited by the concept it is sent forth to embody. No matter how great that concept may be, it is still a limitation. We must become aware of being, which is ever present and beyond mental concepts, to be truly creative. So you see, what you have, is it not in your mind at this present moment a concept of your reality? If it is only a concept of your reality, you have no reality at all. You've created an idea in your mind of reality. But that is not reality. Now think. Your own minds and clear your minds of these concepts. And then, when these concepts are cleared away, there is an awareness that is beyond mind. Something that the mind cannot fathom. Something that the mind does not know, because what is known is not the unknown. And the unknown alone is created. The known is not created, yet what a fathomless wealth lies in the wisdom and knowledge of God. And it is beyond the mind that we find this fathomless wisdom, fathomless knowledge, fathomless wealth that lies in the wisdom of God. Now, if God is infinite in nature, which He must be, we cannot be separated from Him. That's another impossibility. Therefore, if He's infinite in nature, there can only be one substance, one mind. There can't be two. If He's infinite in nature, then there could only be one creator. There can't be two. Therefore, the creator is the creator, and His creation must be one with Himself. It can't be separate from Him. And because He is infinite in nature, we see clearly then that He is the Creator and His creation are one, and I am that creation, and He is the Creator within me. You are the same. When I look at you, then I know that the Father created you just as He created me. So I have the same Father. Your Father and my Father is the same. Jesus said to His disciples very clearly, call no man on earth your Father, for one is your Father who is in heaven. Pure thought is freedom, but pure thought only comes when we have cleared what is preventing it. Our creative power exists in the unlimited state of our divine consciousness. The mind that dwells upon the wider conception based upon an enlarged conception of the truth will produce corresponding results. But even this, you will come to realize, is also a limitation, because the individual is only giving expression to his own idea and conception of the truth. Some great truth writers, and you will read their books and you will see many of these things of which they say, which is utterly untrue. They stop halfway, they finish. But this is not true. I remember when I was in Los Angeles in America, I listened to a great speaker there, written several books. So I went this Sunday morning to listen to him talking, and he got to a certain distance. He couldn't get any further. Went back again and back again, and I was trying to urge him along, mind, oh my God, can't you get through that point? Freedom, get through that particular thing, these ideas and images you're creating, can't you get above them? No, he couldn't. He still retained that particular way down. I was only when I spoke to him later on and I said, well, I enjoyed your talk very much, but I was dissatisfied. He said, why? Well, all you dealt with was concepts and ideas and beliefs. You were giving the people ideas and beliefs and concepts of a truth that you know nothing at all about. Very nice language and beautifully spoken and perfectly put together and all that, and it was nice to listen to. The ordinary person would take it nicely, but for me, it was nothing. Because I knew that your concepts were all of the mind and were not true. They were mental creations, and they were not truth. They were not reality. So he starts to think for a minute. He says, I begin to see your point. I said, no, you will never see my point. The only way you can see my point is this. You must cleanse your mind of all your images, all your beliefs, all your concepts, and then you will know that which is beyond. Because that itself will reveal itself. But it can never reveal itself while your mind is accumulation of ideas and concepts. Now it's the same for you. Exactly the same. There is no difference between you and him. And although he is one of the best speakers in the United States, he still was behind that thing. He was still limited and caught up in his concepts, which was a limitation. So therefore, the mind that dwells upon a wider conception based upon an enlarged conception of the truth will produce corresponding results. But even this, you will realize, is also a limitation. This is self-evident. For when we enter into the highest riches through our realization of our oneness with God and man, we go beyond limitation into that which is in itself eternal, ever-present, and the only reality. And you cannot reach that through a conception or an idea, because you will still remain in your idea. Are we not the creators of our own images and concepts, and thereby held bound by them? This is limitation. But if you realize that you and your concept or images are one, while knowing the true self to be, there is no such limitation, for life which creates is beyond mind. What is in the mind is created and can be discerned, but that which cannot be created is beyond mind and cannot be discerned. This is the only reality. The known can never be the reality. The known can never be the unknown, and what is known is not reality. What is known is in the mind, and what is unknown is beyond the mind. You don't know what your consciousness is, you only know the idea you create. If we try to find ourselves in the concept we create, we will find it an impossibility. Because we are only creating a concept of ourselves in the mind. Yet there is the you, the consciousness that creates the image. This is the paradoxical truth that eludes those who live in beliefs and images. The consciousness must become aware of the image, otherwise it could not exist. Yet the consciousness must be aware of itself and the image as one, then that which is creative will reveal itself to be eternal and ever-present. If I know myself and I know my creation, I am no longer afraid of them nor of fear of them. With all your creations, you think they are external to yourselves. Therefore, you look upon them as something external to yourselves, and you're afraid of them. Freedom only comes when you know that you and your creation are one. When you and the idea and the image you create, or the fear you create, are one, that you are not separate. And when you know that you are the creator of it, therefore it falls away, it dissolves away. And what happens then when it dissolves away? What is left? The consciousness, of course, which is unknowable. That is the great and wonderful truth, the consciousness that is unknowable. When all thinking has ceased, when there is peace. No thought must pass through the mind. The mind must be a complete and perfect peace. There must be no ripple upon the surface of the mind. There must be complete calm. And in that calmness, reality is realized. We do not create the creator, that which is beyond mind. We do not create truth, it already is. Truth, eternal and ever-present. We only create a concept of the truth in our minds. I am the truth. I do not create my real self. I could only create the illusion, the other self. When you can see this, then you will give up making concepts of truth. Truth is not an idea or an image. God is. Therefore, I am. Again, I am caught up in words while trying to make you see the illusion. I only know that I am, but I do not know what I am. I only know I am. Therefore, I know I am that I am, but I do not know what I am. And you do not know what you are either. You only know that you are. If you are content with that, discern then all your concepts and ideas. Then the revealing of something that is tremendous, wholeness and completeness, the whole universe, the great oneness and wholeness expressing itself through you. There is a feeling of tremendous force. You cannot understand it, but you know that it's giving expression to itself, the mind at peace. Just as we cannot see electricity behind the light, neither can we see the life behind the personality. This is the highest teaching of the Master himself. No one has ever seen God, but you have seen the Son of God, and he who has seen me has seen the Father. These are Jesus' words put in another setting to make plain his true meaning of he who receives me receives him who sent me. He was never in any way separated from the Father. He was completely in that union. Not a union which he has to make, a mental union, which you try to make, a mental union with the Father, but that's a separation. You try to identify yourself with God. That is a separation. How can you identify yourself with God? If you do, then you make God separate to you. You identify yourself with your own images and beliefs. That's where your trouble is. But God is. He is the living expression himself. And when you say you identify yourself with God, you make God a relative God somewhere else. But you have the audacity to say, I identify myself with God. What a lot of rubbish. Don't you see that it's all in your mind? It's nothing more but an image, an idea, or truth. When the mind is in perfect repose, when all that is made up in the mind is discerned, in this state the real is known to be your real self. Not the self that is made up in the mind, the illusion of the real. We are told that God is this and that, so we make up an image in our minds of what he is like. Is this not the teaching of the present day? Therefore, beware of those who tell you they know, for they do not know. When we find the source of our being, we can become aware of the thought going forth to accomplish that which is set forth to do. Wishful thinking is then done away with. It has no place in the master's mind. Is it not so that most of us wish, yet all the time we think it impossible? Is this not the height of contradiction? But that is not the master. The master doesn't wish. The master never says, I wish this. You never saw one word where he mentioned, I wish this or wish that. His thought was the direct expression of his completeness, of the Father that was working within him and through him. That's why his word did not return unto him void, but accomplished that which he sent forth to do. He never doubted anything. That was fear, because you're living in your mind, you doubt. His word was creative. His word was the force of his creative power, and that was God himself. So the Christ is God, and God is Christ. Jesus revealed his Christ, but no one could understand. And who could understand today? You're just a handful of understanding people. Go to the masses and see how they understand. No wonder Jesus had only 12 disciples. But it has no opposition. Mind is a substance that is transformed into form, and there is no opposition to its transformation. Search in your own minds and see how you create, and you will see how you live in opposites. If you know this, you can create what you think because you and your thought are one, providing you follow the law upon which it operates. When the thought accomplishes what it is sent forth to do, it is no longer needed. Yet you create the thought and still remain eternally to create. And this is true creativeness. You create, but that creativeness does not cease with the thought and goes forth. The creativeness still remains in you, and that is the eternal. That is the eternal. That is always has been the eternal. Jesus did it every moment of his life. He was creative everywhere, but he didn't lose his creativeness. He didn't praise himself that he did anything. But a lot of people do. They say, you know, see what I manifested. I wanted something, you know, and I manifested it. And look what I've done. And when they can't do it, how they are frustrated. And how difficult it is for them to live up to their manifestations again. That's ignorant. All is spirit, for nothing can come from any other source. But a mind that is full and fear of produces what it fears. Therefore you create your own conditions. Then you react to these conditions and create a vicious cycle. This is the manner of your thinking daily, is it not? But all is spirit, for nothing can come from any other source. But the mind that is full of fear produces what it fears. Therefore, you create your own conditions. Then you react to those conditions and create the vicious circle. This is the manner of your thinking daily. Now, just examine your own minds and see if that is not true. Your troubles are paramount, and you fill your mind with the images you make up in regard to them. You create images of ill health, unhappiness, limitation, lack, fear. Your past influences the future, when all the time you should be living in the living presence that is alone created and is your home. Understanding releases life. Ignorance is frustration and death. So are you not always living in these fears, these limitations and these lacks? These past influences, your fears, your hates, your envies, your belief in the future and so forth. And what about the living present? What about the only thing that is created? The living presence, the eternal. Thought is spirit's mode of action, mode of motion, and is governed by law. Its greatest vitality is given by love, for this is the fruit of the spiritual eye. Release the eye, the real you, from all your own conditioning through understanding of your conditioning, then I am will be the divine spiritual creative power that has no opposition. I am that I am. That was the great wonderful truth that the prophet saw. And so did Paul also see the same thing. And so did Moses see the same thing as he wrote of what he saw. He saw the burning bush. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed in the fire. And out of the bush spoke the word, I am. I am the Lord thy God, and the I am shall be my name for all time. Go and tell my people. The bush, of course, was the body. The life was the fire that did not consume the body. But the life itself spoke, was the only thing it could speak, and say, I am. That was the name of God, and that was the name in man, I am. That is the name of God. And the word of truth is on the lips of every individual, every day, yet he does not recognize. So I say I am, you say I am, everyone says I am. Therefore there is but one God, I am that. Feeling is necessary, for God has no power without feeling. You feel my feeling when you listen to my words. If I skimmed over my words without feeling what they meant, it would be like listening to a gramophone, would it not? Behind the thought, there must be feeling. This is the power that gives my word form. You must have the awareness that brings out feeling into your thought and action, then you will know what creativeness means. It means expressing the truth of being. Being is feeling beyond thought. Thought is the product, not the creator. Thought is the product of its creator. I cannot create for you. You must create for yourself. From all over the world, I'm receiving letters about the new book. It has seemed to have taken a fire in every country. We receive letters every day of people who have read it. And I have a letter here, and I thought I'd bring down tonight to read to you. It came from Clifford House, Newbury Road, Sherwood Rise, Nottingham. Dear Dr. MacDonald Bain, I receive your monthly letter announcing divine healing, mind and body. As it happened, I already had purchased several copies and shall buy more to distribute to my friends. I have read many books on religion and philosophy, and I want to say that this book is truly the greatest I have yet read. Your first book, The Higher Power, had a profound, wonderful effect on me and lifted me into a higher consciousness. But this, your latest book, must be the best yet given to man. I used to think that the Aquarian Gospel, one of the greatest books, but it is not to be compared with divine healing of mind and body. His name is Alexander Barr. So we have hundreds of these letters coming in recently from all over the world, And I'm very pleased to see what this book is doing. It's helping thousands of people everywhere. These books have been sold all around the world. The mind will produce what the thought engenders. The mind is prone to habit. Therefore, the habitual creative thought will mould the mind. Those who feel have established the habit of weak and wishful thinking, which is ineffectual and contradictory. This is the ego at work. The mind is continuously engaged in activities of the ego and with its identifications. If you pursue this activity further, you will find the deep-seated self-interest of the ego. It is the ego that identifies itself with all these things, and it's necessary that you should see and understand what these things are. The self must be discerned and understood so that you can get rid of it. The mind is continually taken up with the needs of daily life, your role in society and so on, all of which build up a structure of the ego. When we are aware whether or not we desire to nourish the ego or not, we will know our intentions, and according to our intentions we will act. These intentions are mostly hidden under a layer of psychological conditioning which requires deep discernment, and it takes a little time before you get deep. That discernment must be always present. No look into the past for it. You're not looking into your mind and seeing what is the cause of this and what is the cause of that. You're wasting your time. Discernment is now, at this very moment, how you're thinking and how you're acting, what your emotions, what your thoughts, what your feelings are. That's discernment now. And all that is in the past will rise to the surface and can be dealt with without difficulty. But if you cannot discern what is happening now and understand your thoughts now, how the devil can you understand the things of the past? It's impossible. A lot of rubbish and nonsense. Unfortunately, the Western world is not so enlightened as the Eastern world on the great mental structure of man. Psychology is an integral thing to the Western world, and they have taken one dark little portion of the mind and have tried to explain the totality of mind from that little dark portion which they know very little about. We know how the ego self is built up and strengthened through opposites, through the pleasure and pain principle, through memory, through identification, and so on. This process is the cause of conflict and sorrow. The question then is, do we earnestly seek to put an end to the cause of sorrow? Ask yourself that question. The cause of wishful, wishy-washy thinking is that we are caught up in craving to be something through name, family, achievement, through identification of the me and the mind. This nourishes this ego self, with the result that we create strife, confusion, antagonisms, ever-spreading, ever-engulfing. How are we ever to transcend strife and sorrow? Is this not what we are trying to do? If it is, must we not find the answer? If we are nourishing the ego, then let us understand it. Our social system is based on aggrandizement of the self, is it not? In this process there is ever conflict, sorrow and antagonism, no matter in what degree it is there. No matter in what degree, from the very lowest to the very highest, and the higher you get, the worse it is. Now, we can discover truth only when we do not depend upon another for the truth. No specialist can give you the right answer, for each one has to find the right answer for him herself. The answer is within you and not outside. I wish I could give it to you by taking this drink of water. It would give me great pleasure. But when you talk to people, if you're aware, And you can discern your own thoughts. When you talk to people and you hear them talking, you can see how conditioned they are. They're conditioned by their talk. Their very words give themselves away. Expansion of the ego self is the cause of misery, because the state of mind is one of becoming. So we must discern the habitual ways of the ego self before liberation comes. What is the habit of the ego? What's the habit of your ego? If you discern the habit of your ego, you can get rid of the habit, but you can't get rid of the habit if you only try and suppress the habit. It is the knowledge of the hindrance that is the liberating factor, and not the attempt to be free from the hindrance. You want to be free all the time from the hindrance. And you pray to be free from the hindrance? And you pray to some God somewhere to be free from the hindrance? Does that free you from the hindrance? You believe that it does, but it does not. But if you have an understanding of the hindrance and what the hindrance is, then that is the liberating factor. For it is truth alone that liberates thought from its own enclosing process. Doubt always arises when we follow another. We accept what another says. Then we doubt. Why should doubt ever arise at all? When we follow another's authority, another's experience, is this not a search for an authority? We blame and criticize the once accepted authority, the leader, the teacher, but we never examine our own craving for an authority who can direct our conduct. Once we understand this craving, we shall comprehend the cause of doubt. Once you understand what doubt and how doubt is brought about, then doubt will disappear. So always doubt comes from the authority of another, the belief of another. And I tell you to doubt the belief of another, so that you'll be able to realize what is true and what is not true. But the doubt reality, or doubt that which is real in itself, comes from when you doubt the authority of another, or which you crave for an authority. And when you have an authority, then you have doubt, because you can't have freedom. Freedom alone eliminates doubt, and freedom comes when you understand yourself. The deep-rooted tendency in human nature is to seek direction, to accept authority. This urge arises from our own uncertainty, from our own incapacity to know what is true at all times. We want another to chart our sea for us, the sea of self-knowledge. We desire to be secure, we desire a safe refuge, so we follow another who will direct. So that is very foolish, because there is no such thing as a safe refuge. That is but an idea, an illusion. Uncertainty and fear always seek guidance and compel obedience and worship of authority. But through obedience or worship, freedom cannot be known. Freedom comes through understanding, not through acceptance of authority, nor through imitation. He who clings to authority, the past, to memory, is ever in conflict and doubt. Therefore beware of the one who says he knows and asks you to follow. Only when the ego self is understood, with all its cravings for self-expression, can there be bliss of the real. The omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent can be experienced. There is no other authority. It can be found only when the ego self dies to itself, when the ego self is transcended. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will be superseded. 1 Corinthians 13:10. Benediction. O mighty one, thou alone existed in the very beginning of time. that fades into the timeless. 'Twas thy word alone that created the earth and the heavens and all that exists therein. Without thee, no existence came into being, thy life made manifest in man. This is the light that shone from the beginning of time and remains in the timeless. The light alone dissolves the darkness and superstition in man's mind. The darkness and ignorance of man's mind dim the light within himself. Then thy light appeared in thy Son Jesus, the light that enlightens every man who comes into the world of darkness. Those who saw the light knew that they were thy children, thy offspring. And now we know we owe our birth to thee, O Holy One, and not to human blood, nor to any impulse of the flesh of man, O eternal, beloved Father of mine. That's the last lesson for this series. And the beginning of the new series takes place next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, the new series will commence. And the next series, I promise you, is better than this series. Isn't every series better than one before it? I'm sure it is, because you're beginning to understand more and more. Well, that is exactly what I feel. The next series will be even greater than this one. I haven't written it yet, you know, and I don't even know what I'm going to say to you, but I'm telling you, it's going to be better. Now we will enter into the sanctuary of silent feeling.